You are listening to Eastside Radio Podcast.
89.7 FM, Eastside Radio.
Keep on running, indeed. That's the Spencer Davis Group from their album Revolutions. Now, I interviewed a musician on this program recently, and I asked what had happened in the last 10 years since an earlier concert that I'd witnessed, and now, and that interview. And her response was, well, I've aged during that time. And I instantly knew that it was a stupid question, but it did make me think about growing older. And as we do so, maintaining our health becomes more than just about avoiding illness. It's about staying strong, mobile and independent, irrespective of the other professional and leisure skills we develop as we grow older. One of the most powerful tools we have to achieve all that is regular physical activity. Fitness, balance and strength aren't just buzzwords. They're all pillars of healthy aging, or so we're told anyway. They help prevent falls, boost energy, support mental well-being, and allow us to keep doing the things we love well into our later years. But how do we build and maintain these abilities as the years pass? What kind of exercise is best, and is it ever too late to start? I thought you might be interested in knowing the answers to those questions, because I certainly am, and to help us do so, a local professional fitness trainer who works with, well, dare I say it, slightly more mature ages, is Dirk Hansen, and he is Dirk's Health at North Bondi. Dirk has been in the personal and corporate fitness game for some 35 years, he tells me. But he's with me now. Dirk, welcome to Monday Drive.
Good afternoon, Alan.
Are you fit? Have you done your stretches?
Exercise early this morning, as I do every day.
Every day. I just said that we should engage in regular physical activity as we grow older. But can you tell us why maintaining our strength and fitness is particularly important, more so as we grow older?
Look, Alan, as you say, as we grow older, it becomes vitally important. But I think to take a step back, what we need to realise is that physical activity now has a higher mortality risk than smoking, cardiovascular disease and type 2 diabetes. So physical inactivity is now a disease in itself.
Inactivity is a disease in itself. Right.
So we need to understand that we're not talking about something that just makes us look good in our bikini or our swimmers in summer. We're talking about something that can add years to our life. So it's very important that we all understand that a regular training program or exercise program should be a part of our weekly regime. And it is vital for our health.
So what are some of the more common physical challenges people face as they grow older? And how can exercise overcome that?
Look, there's a number of physical challenges, we can touch on them, but one of the main challenges and one of the main benefits as we get older is strength training. And to take a step back from that, what happens to us is that strength training and the advancement in strength as we get older can help reduce a number of ailments, which I'll touch on later.
Right.
But what we don't realise, most people don't realise, is that from around about 30 years of age, we start to lose lean muscle every year. And around 30 years of age, it's around about 1% of lean muscle per year. And by the time we get to 40 or 50 years of age, it's around 3% of lean muscle each year. So what that adds up to at 50 years of age, you have probably lost about 10% of your lean muscle. By the time you get to 70, you've lost 40% of your lean muscle. Now, as I said, lean muscle is a gauge for a lot of health and risk factors. So which means that as we lose lean muscle every year, we've got a higher risk of developing a number of diseases.
Right.
It's vitally important, obviously, that we try and turn that around. So the earlier you can start that, the better. But as you said, it's never too late. So by starting that now, obviously, when I'm talking about lean muscle, then I'm talking about a strength program.
Right.
If it is that we're losing lean muscle from 35 years of age, it's vitally important that we're trying to reverse that cycle by doing some strength training.
Okay. In addition to strength, and we'll come back to it in just a moment, balance tends to decline as we age. Why does that happen? And what kind of exercises do you think might be able to improve or help maintain it?
Okay. We talk about balance declining as we get older, and what we're actually talking about is our stability. People talk about doing balance exercises. We talk about losing our balance as we get older. But actually what we're losing, once again, is strength. So your skeletal system is held up by muscles. And as I mentioned, if it is by the time you get to 70 years of age, you've lost 40% of your lean muscle, which means your skeletal system is now not being held up anywhere near as strongly as it was 20 or 30 years ago. And that basically will then mean, obviously, when you're walking, when you're doing movements, your skeleton will move around. It's the same as a small twig will in the breeze. It will move around more. It'll mean you have then a higher risk of having falls. So it's not your balance per se. It's purely strength. And then the next stage with that, if it is that because my skeletal system is not being held up as strongly as it was 20 or 30 years ago, and I now have a higher risk of maybe stumbling or tripping, the next part of the equation to falling is if I stumble and then push my leg out and transfer all my body weight onto one leg, have I now got the strength to support my body weight on one leg? And unfortunately for most older people, they don't, which means that the leg just gives way and now they have stumbled and fall.
Okay, so what you're saying is that the balance is the result, not the cause, and strengthening exercises can help avoid the balance problem.
Exactly. A lot of people think we use, as I said in inverted commas, purely balance as we get older, but it's not balance, we lose its strength.
Right.
So then, of course, if that is what we're looking at, then strength training is vital. And all forms of strength training are important, but obviously as we get older, if it is we're going to have falls and trips from our legs, from our hips down, which are caused by our legs being weak, then obviously including some sort of strength training is vitally important.
Right.
And one of the things to understand that that hip fractures are obviously a higher risk in older people. And the statistics show that 30% of people who have a hip fracture will die within 12 months of that hip fracture.
So gee, that's pretty staggering statistic.
In the States, it's 20 to 50%, I think. Mm. In Australia, it's 30%. Mm. So, and obviously the reason for that is that once you have a hip fracture, you become immobile, and it's the first domino that's been knocked over that then causes a lot of other problems.
Pretty major domino. I'm talking with Dirk Hansen from Dirk's Fitness. Dirk, nobody has time for exercise. What is your argument to older people when they put that concept to you? Look, nobody's got time.
No, they don't. But there's a quote, if you don't make time for exercise, you'll probably make time for illness. So I think one of the important things is, and I say to my clients regularly, is we need to, at some stage in our life, probably sit down and even get out a sheet of paper and write down what's important to us in our life. And you can write down all your material things on one side and then all your health things on the other side. And then you can rate and have a look at how you're rating them. And if it is, I say to people all the time, if it is that on one side, the things that are material in your life, house, car, jewelry, other things like that, they rate higher than your strength, weight, cardiovascular fitness, all those things, then you need to reassess what your goals are. So what I'm saying, obviously, Alan, is you need to make, if it is, you don't want to suffer. And the other thing, Alan, is that as you said, I've actually been doing this for 40 years. I started at John Valentine's as an aerobics instructor back in 1982.
I got it wrong. I said 35.
Well, 35 in the personal training, but 40 years of dealing with people. And the one thing that I have, apart from the degree that I have, is the fact that over those 40 years, I've trained thousands of people, and I've seen people from all shapes and sizes, you know, go through their 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s and 80s and seeing people who are training regularly and people who are not training regularly.
Mm.
So my experience doesn't come from a book. It comes from firsthand watching people. And I can guarantee you that the people that I train and see regularly who do regular exercise, especially strength training, have far less visits to the doctor, osteos, physios, than their counterparts who don't. So the long-winded answer to your question is you need to make time for exercise. If you've got time for other things in the day, exercise needs to be a priority.
One of the first things I asked you, in fact, the first thing is, have you done your stretches today? I think you said, yes, I do them every day, and you did them this morning.
Yep.
So that begs the question, what is the best time of the day to do exercise? Is it in the morning when you've just had a nice long sleep and you're relaxed and not in the mood to do too much activity? Or is it in the afternoon after work when you're listening to Monday Drive here on Eastside Radio? Or is it just before bed?
Look, like a lot of fitness and health questions, Alan, I can give you one scenario and say yes to that and give you another scenario and say yes to that. And what I mean by that is there's physiological reasons why certain times of the day, depending if you're trying to lose weight, gain muscle, will make a difference. But what I would say to people is that one thing, once again, from experience, is that every hour of the day that carries on, the chances of you finding excuse not to train increase. So if I'd been able to keep a diary or a spreadsheet over the last 40 years of my cancellations, I can guarantee you from 5:30 a.m. in the morning to 5:30 p.m. in the afternoon, they increase significantly. But if people say they're going to train at 6 o'clock at night, I know I'm tossing a coin and waiting for a phone call. So for instance, I trained at 4 a.m., quarter to 4 every morning because I have a busy day. And if I don't train at 4 a.m., there's a good chance it'll get interrupted.
But during winter as well? It's so cold. It's so nice and warm. It's so warm in bed at that time.
But once again, I obviously understand what's good for me. I understand what is important for me and my training is a priority. So if it is that I think that maybe during the day I will get interrupted, then I do it at a time that insists that I won't get interrupted.
4 o'clock in the morning, nothing's going to interrupt you.
Best time to train.
Oh, God, it's truth. Well, you won't be seeing me anytime at 4 in the morning.
You'd be surprised how many people I actually do see walk by my gym at 4 o'clock in the morning. You'd be surprised. But sorry, just one more segment to that. I think the important thing is, if you're going to start on, as you said beforehand, why aren't people training? Don't make it an obstacle. So if it is that you're not a morning person, they're probably trying to train at 6 o'clock in the morning is an obstacle that's going to make it harder for you to do it.
Right.
So I would look at your lifestyle and work out the best time that's going to suit and not be an obstacle for you, and that's the best time for you.
Okay, so we've discussed the time of the day. What is the length of time, or what's the minimum time somebody who's maybe just retired should spend on formal physical strength exercise because they haven't been used to it? How long should they spend at 4 o'clock in the morning doing their exercise?
Look, as you said, if you're just starting off on a training program, they're like anything in life, it's best to start incrementally and build up. So if you're in your 50s and 60s and you haven't trained regularly before, you don't want to jump into long sessions.
Mm-hmm.
So starting with 10, 15, 20 minutes in a day and then increasing that would be ideal. But ideally, you know, and there's lots of data to show that obviously 10 minutes of exercise is better than none.
Yeah.
But 30 to 45 minutes of exercise a day is an ideal amount of time where you can get significant results.
And is that different men to women?
No. But different from depending on your goals,
right,
obviously. But men to women, no. Obviously, some people who are already fit and maintaining their health, that's different for someone who may be not so fit and trying to get significant changes in a shorter period of time. So
I read an article recently that said that 7,000 steps is good enough for adequate exercise during a day. Now, what's the go there?
You see me probably smile when you say that, Alan. Look, for one thing, I don't call walking exercise, okay? I call walking an activity, so that's number one. Now, don't get me wrong.
Like,
7,000 steps is great, and for someone, as opposed to someone sitting on the couch, it's fantastic.
Right.
So that's what that movement is trying to do, is to get people who are normally very inactive to move.
Right.
Funny enough, one of my clients asked me about this the other day, And I went to one corner of the gym and I walked incredibly slowly across the gym and back again and said, there I am getting my 7,000 steps today. Right. What is that doing to my fitness? And they laughed at me and said, not much.
Yeah.
So it's better than sitting on the couch. If it is, once again, you have to understand what your goals are. If it is you're trying to make differences in your health and fitness, then walking slowly for 7,000 steps is not going to make a big difference unless you've been sitting on the couch and that's and this is a change for you, yeah?
Mm.
So obviously it depends on different people. I obviously train regularly. I would not call, so I say to people all the time, I walk my dog twice a day for 30 to 45 minutes, so an hour and a half a day, and I walk my dog briskly, very quickly.
Mm.
I would never mention when people ask me what I do for training, I would never mention the fact that I walk for 7 hours a week for training. That's irrelevant for my training. That's good for my head and it's good for my health.
Would you say your dog is fit?
My dog's very fit.
Does it lift weights?
It doesn't lift weights. Okay. No.
Look, it's much older. It's much harder to put muscle on when you get older. So why even try?
Because, as I mentioned, the significant detrimental effects to your health from not having lean muscle. So increased strength gives you a 42% lower dementia risk.
All right.
There's a 30% lower all-cause mortality rate from having higher lean muscle.
Right.
So we're talking significant health advantages from having lean muscle or doing strength training. So it shouldn't be, you mentioned the word pillar beforehand. Strength training shouldn't be some add-on. It should be the pillar of your health. It should be what you build everything in your life around.
Yeah. Okay.
So
like it or not, as we get older, our bodies lose condition. Things we get things like arthritis and osteoporosis and other forms of limited mobility. How can older people adapt their workouts or their training regimes, as you probably call it, to accommodate those sorts of conditions?
Okay, so two things. One is the more you train, the less of those conditions, you know, that you'll suffer from. There's no doubt that, as I said, my clients often notice a year or two into their training, the fact that their visits to doctors, osteos, physios have almost completely diminished because of the fact that they're active. How is it if someone's starting up then? The really important thing, if you're older, and obviously to take a step back, as I mentioned, ideally you want to start. And if you are an older person, you need to be instilling this into your kids and your grandkids. So ideally you're starting your training at 20 years of age.
Mm.
The same as you would teach, hopefully, your kids or grandkids maybe to put a small percentage of their wage away if every week into an investment portfolio. So by the time they're 60 years of age, they have a wonderful nest egg. Well, your training or strength training is exactly the same thing. So if you can teach young people to start at a young age, by the time they're 60, they're reaping the rewards of it. But if it is you are starting later, and it's better late than never, it's important to make sure that you get advice on how you should do it, because every single person, as you said, I can give you a training program, Alan, but if it is that your relative has other health ailments at 60 or 70 years of age, the training program I give them will be slightly different to accommodate their needs. So it's very important, if you're going to start off, especially a strength training and you're in your older years, that you get some professional advice from someone who knows what they're talking about to make sure that the program you're doing is specific for you.
Okay. Mental well-being is often linked to physical well-being.
Yep.
What impact have you seen fitness have on mood and confidence and cognitive health and in older clients?
Look, as I said, increased strength training has a 42% lower risk of dementia. But one thing I would say, and it's one of the reasons I've been in the industry for a long time, Alan, and that is it's very rewarding to see people who come in and maybe of poor health or not great health, and they turn their life around, start training regularly, maybe losing weight, getting stronger. What goes hand in hand, and it's a nice thing that I see, is that you, because you get a relationship with these people, is that they have more positive outcomes at work. They're talking about work in a more positive way. Their relationships are better. Everything in their life, because they have a more positive outlook and they feel better about themselves and they feel better at the work. We need to understand that when you go to work every day, when you sit at a desk, your body's either a 1 out of 10, a 5 out of 10, or a 10 out of 10.
Mm-hmm.
And your mind is encased in your body.
Yep.
So if you sit down at your desk and it's a 6 out of 10, then unfortunately the chance of you having a fantastic day are already limited.
Yep, yep. There are around about, you're an eastern suburbs bloke. This is Eastside Radio, which is an eastern suburbs-based community organisation. There are about 175 million gyms in the eastern suburbs, or so it seems.
Yep.
Maybe I shouldn't be quite so rude about it. Each one has more beautiful people in it than can be seen on the beaches at Saint-Tropez. Now, are gyms actually worth the money?
Yes is a short answer. And there's no difference to anything. You know, are all restaurants fantastic? No, some restaurants are better than others. So yes, if it is, you need the expertise. And obviously, gyms offer certain things. Some gyms offer a place for someone to go along and work off out by themselves. Wonderful for someone who knows what they're doing and just needs the facilities and an avenue to do it. Obviously, not so good for someone who doesn't know what they're doing. Other gyms offer the ability to go and do in small groups or big groups and train. As I said beforehand, the important thing is to realize what your needs are and then make sure that if you're going to go to a gym, that the gym you're going to offers. So if you're an older person who doesn't have an education, then going to a gym where you're going to do your own training is not an ideal suit for you.
Right.
Maybe going to a gym that has 40 or 50 people in a class is not an ideal suit for you. If it is, you do have that and you just haven't trained for 10 or 20 years, but you have the knowledge, then those gyms are good for you. So it just depends on what it is your circumstances are to make sure you get the right fit for you.
Right. Should we look at your website or should we come in and see you if we decide that we need to do something about our condition or indeed our lack of strength, or if we're happy with our strength, then how we should maintain it? What do we do? What do we do about it?
Look, if you're an older person, I always suggest to come in at least have a chat first. So once again, I can then have a discussion about what health ailments or problems you may have, if none, fantastic, and then work out whether jumping into a class straight away is the best thing for you, or maybe something that's a little bit more controlled in a one-on-one situation is best for you. Mm. So once again, it's best to have that discussion. If you're a younger person in their 30s and 40s with no health problems, then jumping into a class is an okay fit. But once again, if you're in your 60s, 70s and you're thinking about doing it, then having a discussion first with someone to make sure that you can lay down all your ailments or all your conditions, and that's why it's going to be suitably attired.
Notwithstanding that, what's your website?
It's dirkshealth.com.au, www.dirkshealth.com.au.
Okay. You said you've been in the business for some 40 years.
Yep.
How long are you going to be remaining in the business?
Look, as I said, Alan, I love helping people and I love seeing people get results. So it's a very rewarding business. Like a lot of people, I don't think I could just stop. So, you know, over the coming years, I may cut back the hours I do. But if I still have the ability to help people and make a difference in people's lives, then I'll probably continue to do for many more years.
Okay. Look, music forms a part of a lot of gyms. Do you play music in your gym during exercise time?
Look, probably a little bit differently to other gyms. We in our gym have music quizzes during the class where I will play music and get people in the class to try and pick the artist, maybe pick the year. Sometimes in the class I'll play songs from just one year and then everyone has to try and pick that particular year.
Okay. Well, look, here I'm about to play something for you, which is something it is very unlikely that you will play in your gym. But I'd like to thank you for coming in and talking to us today. Dirk, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you, Alan.
You have been listening to Eastside Radio Podcast. For selections of more enjoyable content like this, visit our website, eastsidefm.org, and click on Podcast.